Police Chief Rod Freeman, who will be speaking after me. I would also like to acknowledge in the audience Nancy O'Grady, who is the chair of the Woodstock Police Services Board. How many times in the past have you heard a mayor say, "Well, this could have happened anywhere"? And while that statement's true, it happened here in Woodstock, and for the past 3 years, this community has been under a cloud. Ironically, this morning, the sun is shining. There's still clouds in the sky, but our town will accept that as a symbol that it's time to begin the healing process. And there is not a one-size-fits-all solution to deal with the emotional roller coaster that so many people experienced over the past 36 months. For the parents and family of Tori Stafford, I'm telling them something that they already know, something they've already experienced, that the community is relieved to hear the verdict and to know the trial is finally over. The community can only attempt to comprehend what Tori's grandmother, Doreen, said last night, to understand what she meant when she said, "The last 3 years have been hell." I've received emails over the past few months, but there was one that came in this morning that pretty much summed up collectively all the emails that I received. But what's unique was this email came from St. Catharines, but not St. Catharines, Ontario, St. Catharines, Prince Edward Island. And she wrote, "Please convey my best wishes to Tori's family. I am so relieved that Tori and her family have received justice. Tori was a beautiful child in every way, and I can't imagine the loss the family must be feeling. My sincere condolences and my sincere wishes that this conviction will help them get closure." And again, that's from a neighbor down the road in Prince Edward Island. Just backtrack for a moment. Just over a year ago, there was an explosion in Woodstock where two people died, and ironically, it was on Victoria Street. And I remember at the end of the day talking to a firefighter. We knew that there were two dead. And I asked them how they handled such tragedy. And they said, "Well, with training, professionalism, it's part of the job and we learn to deal with it. It's just part of the job." And he walked away, took about five steps, stopped and turned around. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Unless there's a child involved, we don't know how to handle that emotionally." And so now I want to recognize our police services, both here in Woodstock and the Ontario Provincial Police. As the case moved from a search to a murder investigation of a child, these professionals knew that the steps along the way, that their training, talents, and skills would eventually be placed under a microscope for all to review and observe. And I know from being on the Police Services Board that every officer, every member of the civilian staff, were all impacted personally one way or another with their participation in this case. Because after all, they're parents and grandparents too. And they were there because of the innocence of an 8-year-old child was their focus. As another aside, last fall I was called to jury duty. And so while I wasn't selected, there was one individual who refused to serve, told the judge, "I just don't want to serve." And the judge rightly reprimanded, rebuked the individual. And before the 75-100 of us there, he indicated that jury duty is one of the few times your country calls upon you to do your duty for the nation. And he said, "It's an honor to serve on a jury," which of course is a lead-in to the sincere thank you to the 12-member jury who, based on the facts presented to them, delivered a fair and just verdict. Their careful attention during the past 10-11 weeks will have again restored the confidence and faith citizens should feel about our justice system. I think the city must also acknowledge the countless hours put into the case by the Crown Attorney's Office. They had to sort through mountains of evidence to lay out the relevant material to be presented, because over the months while they were reviewing all that material, they recognize that they only have a single opportunity to present the facts to the jury. And obviously, Kevin Gowdy and Brian Crockett, Michael Carnegie, and their support team performed at the top of their game. And finally, as the weeks go by, the professionalism and the administration of the law by Superior Court Judge Thomas Haney will be appreciated by the residents of this province. Now, I mentioned that this community has been under a cloud and been impacted, and let me give you examples of just the small ways. We always have an issue around schools at 3:30 when parents, grandparents arrive to pick up children. There's no stopping zones, no parking zones. But there was a marked change over the last 2 or 3 years for the bylaw officers and the police officers who showed up to knock on the window of the car to ask them to move along. And they were now greeted by parents who were more hostile and said, "I have a right to be here to pick up my child." And that's just a little subtle way that it was impacting on people. And recently I was talking with parents. They have children that are just ready to enter school, and they live 2-3 blocks from the school, and they're making the decision, okay, how will we escort the child to school and make sure they get home safely? And they were questioning, at what point in time do they cut the proverbial apron strings? At what point in time, with all the child proofing, will it be safe in their mind? But in the back of their mind, they're lurking. In the back of the mind, it's lurking that there are indeed evil people in the community. And finally, on Easter Sunday, about 4 weeks ago, on the third anniversary of Tori's disappearance, we had a couple individuals, young ladies, came across Dundas Street here and put purple balloons, purple flowers, purple flags all along the streets and into the flower boxes. There was no names, but everybody in town knew what the symbolism was. And I talked to people the next day who said they were crying when they came down Dundas Street. So in conclusion, as a civic leader, for our educators, for the police, for social services, and the list goes on, we share a collective accountability to work harder to make our communities safer. We cannot ignore the challenges. Like every community, we have issues with drugs, we have issues with domestic violence, but we can seize the opportunities as the city moves forward, and we can do so because of the inspiration of the innocence of Tori Stafford. The community will lovingly remember her. Now it's my honor to introduce Police Chief Rod Freeman.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and what a glorious morning this is. This is the first morning in just over 3 years that I've been able to wake up and have some sense of closure to this terrible, horrific investigation now that we have convicted the second of two child killers that traumatized our community back in April of 2009. I want to say right off the bat that, especially for the last 24 hours, but throughout these last 3 years, my prayers, my thoughts have been with Victoria. And now that we do have the conviction on both of her killers, my hope is that that conviction will bring some sense of peace to her so that she can now rest in peace, and certainly rest in peace now with dignity. Over the last 3 years, 1,000 police officers from across the province, 400 support personnel from a variety of different police services, 14 police services from basically southwestern Ontario, all contributed to this investigation. And it was never an investigation of them and us and the other police force. It was one investigation, one unified investigation of police officers that were entirely focused on, number one, finding Victoria and bringing her back to her family. Initially, for the first while, we hoped to do that alive, and unfortunately, you heard the evidence, that was never a possibility for our organization. Once we determined that Victoria had been so horrifically taken, it then became a mission to bring Victoria's body home so that she could be laid to rest with dignity. And then the focus was on ensuring that we capture the people responsible for inflicting this horrific, brutal attack that resulted in Victoria's death. And last night, just after 9 o'clock, I think it was actually about 9:30, we accomplished that objective. Rafferty was convicted on all three counts, one of first-degree murder, one of abduction, one of sexual assault causing bodily harm. Those were the three charges we laid, and we got convictions on all three charges. It's a bittersweet experience because we are very pleased with those convictions, but at the same time, we truly wish in our hearts, every single one of us, that we never had to be here in the first place. We truly wish that Victoria hadn't been victimized and that our community hadn't been victimized.